Aviv Stone was once spending Hanukkah by the River of Baruch Hu. The River of Baruch Hu was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And he was zochet to see the tzaddik b'avodaso, to be able to watch the tzaddik as he was doing his avoda to light the nearest Hanukkah. And he watched as the River of Baruch Hu lit his Hanukkah candles and was staring very intensely into the candles, into the nearest Hanukkah. And the Rav Baruch started, he couldn't hold himself back. He started, just came out. He started saying over and over again, a kleine yudle, a small Jew, mit a kleine shtetshikel, with a small candle, und a stille bracha, and a silent blessing. Small Jew, a small candle, and a silent whisper of a blessing. When it's the licht in all olamas, and somehow the small Jew with his small candle and his small silent bracha, he illuminates the entire world. But it's not just that he illuminates the entire world, it's the licht in all olamas. He illuminates all of the worlds, not just this world, but all of the spiritual worlds that are totally on this world and everything that's going on in this world. Chanukah has the ability, with a little candle, a little Jew, and a soft, silent bracha, a Jew is able to illuminate the entire, not just the little corner of his home, not just right outside by the doorway. He illuminates the whole world and all of the worlds. Hanukkah comes at the end of a very, very dark period. It's the only chag of the Jewish people that comes at the end of the month, when the moon is already waning. The moon is already, the light of the moon is starting to disappear. And it's a mitzvah that happens dafka balayla, when it's dark outside. And so if we want to understand the mystery, the beauty of Hanukkah, and what it speaks to us, we want to prepare properly. So we need to enter into the darkness. And in studying Torah, how does a person enter into the darkness? When we enter into the darkness when we're studying Torah is by analyzing and questioning and creating a mystery. Darkness means ihavana, not understanding. So sometimes a person needs to have lack of clarity, ihavana, has to embellish the mystery and to revel in it before they can come to a state of illumination, of seeing something in a different way, of tasting it in a different way. So I'll ask a few questions. Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tafresh Ayin Vav, writes that when it comes to Hanukkah, there's something unusual. Milel Rishon Ve'ilech Mevarech Shtayim Lahadlik V'Sha'asanisim. Shulchan Aruch writes that from this, after the first day you also say Shachrianu, so it's three brachos, but from the first day and onward, we say two brachos. We say the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, or Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, depending on our nusach. You say the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, and you say the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavosenu Bayamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh. We say the bracha that Hashem made miracles for our forefathers back then, and He makes miracles for us now. Says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 3, Dineis kol yoma isa, because every day is the miracle. The miracle of Chanukah did not just take place on the first day, but each day is its own separate miracle. It's remembering the fact that the neis took place not only on the first day, but the second day, on the third day, on the fourth day. Each day is its own miracle. Can you imagine walking back into the Beis HaMikdash after that? You went to sleep and you come back in the morning and it's like, it's still burning. It's still burning. And with each of those, each time a person recognizes, or each time they recognize that there was an additional nes happening, it necessitated for us an additional bracha. So we make the bracha of, every single day, we make the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, which is the Birchas HaMitzvah. And we make an additional bracha, says the Mishnah Berurah, on the Neis itself. Sha'asa Nisim La'avoseinu. So this is peculiar. Why is this peculiar? Well, first of all, it's peculiar because, as Rambam and many others pointed out, there are many miracles that took place in our tradition, and we don't find that it's so customary to be making brachos over these miracles. We don't make a bracha on the seventh day of Pesach, for example, that Hashem split the Yam Suf. And if we think about it, and take a look at source number 4, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Asara nisim nasu labosena, the Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles that took place every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. What was so remarkable about the fact that, so there was a miracle, but it necessitates its own bracha, it needs its own bracha? There are miracles all the time happening for the Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash. 10 miracles every day. We don't have a bracha over the lechem apanim staying fresh from week to week. We don't have a bracha over the fact that no flies ever entered into the Beis HaMikdash. None of the miracles that took place on a daily basis necessitate a bracha. And when it comes to Chanukah, all of a sudden, we do make a bracha. A second peculiarity when it comes to Chanukah is that when you look at the Rambam does not speak like this about any other mitzvah. Everybody points this out, and there are a lot of answers to this question. But we need to reassess the words of the Rambam, constantly saying new things to us. The Rambam says in source number 5, Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. The mitzvah of the Neros of Chanukah, of lighting Chanukah candles, is a mitzvah Chaviva Ad Ma'od. It's exceedingly precious. It's Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. And therefore, Vitzarech Adam Lizarba, because it's so precious, because it's so Chaviv, so beloved. Therefore, we need to be very careful about it. And from there, says the Rambam, stems this notion that we spoke about once before, that you have to sell the shirt off your back. You have to do everything you can to make sure you don't miss out on having these Neros Chanukah. Again, what's so chaviv about the Neros of Chanukah? What's so special about the Neros of Chanukah that the Rambam, who never speaks in hyperbolic terms, that he speaks about the Neros Chanukah as being Chaviv Ad Ma'od, exceedingly precious. And it has to be that these two things are linked. This special bracha that we make on the Neros of Chanukah, the miracle that we remember via the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim La'Avosenu, is linked to this Chavivos, and that's clear from the words of Tosos in source number 6. Take a look at Tosos. A person who sees a candle on Chanukah, who doesn't have his own candle, still makes the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim La'Avosenu, even if he doesn't make the bracha of Lahadlik Ner, because he didn't have a candle, he doesn't have a house. A person who doesn't have a home, lives on the street, but sees Neros Chanukah, he's not chayiv to light the candles because it's Ner Ish Ubeisa. You have to have a bias. And if you don't have a bias, you're not chayiv to Neros Chanukah. But just seeing the Neros makes you obligated to say the Birchas Haroah. You have to say the bracha of seeing that miracle. She'asa nisim la'avosenu b'yomim hazmanos. It says Tosos, kind of re-highlighting that question that we asked at first. B'shar mitzvos kigon alula v'sukkah. Sukkah, which is zeichah tel anan ha'kavu, that's a miracle. We don't say that you see a sukkah, you make a bracha. Sukkah, lulav, lo tiknu levarach l'roel. A person who sees these mitzvos happening does not make a bracha. Ella, says Tosfos in the first answer, Ella gabe ner chanukah mishum chavivus. You only find that there's a special bracha by the neros of Chanukah, by this miracle of Chanukah, because of its chavivus. Effectively, Tosfos here is linking our first question and our second question, but it still remains a question. What is so chaviv about the Neros of Chanukah? And how is it that chavivus engenders that there's something special, it's a unique type of miracle, that it needs a special bracha of Sha'asa Nisim La'Avosenu Bayanim Ha'im Bazman Hazem? A few more questions. Chazal, in the Medrash Rabbah, in a few places, speak about the battle plan of the Greeks against the Jewish people. It was a propaganda war. The Greeks, first and foremost, one of the first pieces of propaganda that they spread a law that they made in order to undermine the entire Jewish people is recorded in source number 7 in Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Beis, Pisgah Daled. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish Pasar Karya B'Golius. Reish Lakish explained the Pasuk in the beginning of the Torah. In the beginning of the Torah we have this Pasuk, right? That Hashem created the world and it was Tov Vavo V'Choshech Al Pnei Tahom. Rav Shimon ben Lakish explained that Pasuk as an alignment to the four Golius. Choshech, Tahom, Tov Vavo. So Reish Lakish explains, Tohu is one of the Golios, Bo is one of the Golios, V'choshech, what's Choshech, darkness? Zed Golos Yavam. This is the exile of Yavam. Shech Shichei Neim Shal Yisrael, because they darkened the eyes of the Jewish people, B'gzeroseihem, with their gzeros, with their decrees. Shaisa Omeris Lehem, Kisvu Al Keren Hashur, She'in Lechem Chilek Be'elohei Yisrael. The Yavonim made a decree that every Jew has to write on the horn of an ox. That they have to write on the horn of an ox. Ein lam chelak b'elokei Yisrael. You have no portion, I have no portion, in the God of Israel. What type of bizarre and strange practice is this, that the Yevonim intended that the Jewish people should write on the horn of an ox? That they have no chelak in the God of Israel? What exactly did the Yevonim want from us? What were they looking to do by getting us to write on the horn of an ox? She'en lam chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Furthermore, everybody knows, we learned from the time that we were in grade school, in source number 8, that Shabbos, Mila, and Rosh Chodesh were under attack. The Yevonim decreed that we are not allowed to give bris mila to our children, to our sons. We are not allowed to keep Shabbos in any public way or at all. And we're not allowed to be koveya the chodesh. We're not allowed to announce the new month. To undermine these three things, also the Yevonim were set out to do. Why dafka did they attack those three things? We don't find that they had some big theological or political issue with Jews wearing tzitzis. We don't find that they attacked tefillin. We find dafka that they were attacking Shabbos, Mila, and Rosh Chodesh. So we have to understand that as well. And just two more questions. The nusach of Al Hanisim bears our attention, A, because we don't have a Masechtas Chanukah. Okay, a little bit, we're learning together Masechtas Shabbos, some of the teachings that relate to Chanukah in Masechtas Shabbos. It doesn't really get its own Masechta. And perhaps the greatest insight into the Matbeya Shel Chag, into the notion of how this Chag is supposed to be celebrated, is Dafka, the Matbeya Shel Tefillah. If we want to know how the Chag is supposed to be celebrated, we can go and look at the Al Hanisim, which is inserted into our davening, inserted into our benching, and try to understand something unique about the Yom Tov of Chag. So we're surprised to look in source number 9, we look at the Al Hanisim Tefillah. She'om the Malchus Yavin HaRisha Al Amcha Yisrael. When the evil Yavin came to attack the Jewish people, and a few lines later, Ula Amcha Yisrael Asisa Tshuva Gidola Forkan Kayim Azen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was to Amcha Yisrael, to your nation Yisrael, to the Jewish people, that you made this amazing victory, this amazing Yeshua, the salvation of the Jewish people. And then in the last line of Al Hanisim, all of a sudden, the subject changes. No longer are we referred to, we the subject of this tefillah, no longer are we referred to as Amcha Yisrael. Ula Amcha Yisrael Asisa Tshua Gedola. Amcha Yisrael, Yavam came to attack. But in the last line, in the final analysis, Va'achar Kain, Bo Vanechal Dvir Veisech. Your children came to the Beis HaMikdash. No longer are we referred to as Amcha Yisrael, but now we're referred to as Bo Vanecha. Hashem's children came to the Beis HaMikdash. Bo Vanecha Dvir Veisech. Why the change? And finally, a very mysterious Gemara. There's a series of Gemaras in Bechoros.
starting on Daf Chesam and Beis, about Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. The Gemaras of Rav Yeshua ben Chananya and the wise men of Athens. An amazing, fantastical piece of Agarata, which serves as the basis for one half of the Sefer of the Drushos on the Agaratas of Shas, written by the Vilna Gaon, where the Vilna Gaon masterfully expounds upon and explains these Agaratas. The other one is from the Gemaras of Bava Basra, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, also fantastic stories. So listen to this story. Only get a little piece of it, and I won't be able to learn all of them today. Amar le Kesar Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, Hai Sabi Dedei Mutina Chakima Inu. The Roman Caesar said to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, there are these wise men in Greece, in Athens. Athens, the Bay Utania, the wise men of Athens, study hall of the wise men of Athens, which was set up most likely by Aristotle and Plato. So the Roman Caesar says to Rishon and Chananya, these wise men of Athens, they are Chachamim Inhu. But specifically he was saying, they are wiser than you. The Greeks, they know more than the Jews. They're wiser than you. Rishon and Chananya says back to him, Anan Chachminan Minayim. No. We are wiser than they are. Says the Roman Caesar back to Rishon and Chananya, Icha Kimat, if you are in fact wiser, Zil Zachinu V'it Naihule. Go and defeat them, Zachinu, go defeat them, if you're in fact wiser. Go outsmart them and bring them here to me. So the Gemara tells about how Yeshua and Chananya had to risk his life. These people were called the wise men of Athens, but they weren't the most moral. And Rav Yeshua ben Chananya was risking his life by going into their house of study. People could go into their house of study and not come out alive. And the Gemara tells us that Amar Lei, before he went on this journey, Amar Lei, he said to the Roman Caesar, Kamahave, how many are there? How many wise men of Athens are there? Excuse me. So he said, Shisim Gevire, 60 men. The 60 wise men of Athens. Amar lei avid li svina dispe shisin bate. Make me a boat with 60 compartments. A huge boat. The kol bita and each compartment, each house within the boat. Ispe shisin bistarki. They should each of those rooms should have 60. Each room itself should have one for making a total of 60 chairs for them to sit on, for them to travel on. Avidlei, he made in the boat, and Rav Yeshua ben Chananya traveled to the wise men of Athens. Kimata lahasam, when he got there. And .. There's a whole story about how exactly he was able to get entry into the... Not just anybody could get into the wise men of Athens. He had to trick his way in. Kimata lahasam, when he got there, Aisule Trey Bey. The wise men of Athens brought before him two eggs. Amar lei, hai de gista uchinti, vahai de gista chivarti. The wise men of Athens brought him two eggs and they said, one of these eggs comes from a white chicken, and the other comes from a black chicken. A white hen and a black hen laid these eggs. Which one came from the black and which one came from the white hen? Two identical eggs. Peculiar question. Rav Yeshua ben Chananya says, just give me one moment. He goes out to the marketplace and comes back. Aisi lehu, he brings before them tre gavine, two slices of cheese, two cubes of cheese. Amar lehu, and he says to them, hai di iza uchinti, vahai di iza chivarti. One of these cheeses comes from a black goat, and the other one comes from a white goat. Can you tell me which one comes from which? Ad kan lashon ha'gemara. What exactly is going on in this Gemara? I feel that if we can understand this Gemara, this machlokas between the wise men of Athens, the men of Greece, of Yava, and Rav Yehoshua ben Hananya, one of the sages of the Jewish people, if we can understand what's going on in this Gemara, I think that will be the key that will open up the entire discussion and answer all these questions that we ask. The Marsha, in his commentary to this Gemara, explains that these machloksim between the wise men of Athens and Rav Yehoshua ben Hananya focus on some of the essential differences between the way the Jewish people look at the world and the Yavanim looked at the world. They weren't stam, simple machloksim. The Marsha even half wonders whether these stories actually really happened or whether they're just emblematic, symbolic of a machlokes, and Rishon Chanani was trying to teach us about the different worldviews versus the Jewish worldview versus the Greek worldview. And the Marsha writes, just read a few lines inside, but Agados, when it comes to the Agados of Rishon Chanani, Sabid Be Atuna, when it comes to the Agados of Rishon Chanani and the Sabid Be Atuna, the wise men of Athens, Levisha Rabim Matmiim, since many people are wondering about this. That Rishon Chananya went and risked his life to defeat the wise men of Athens and before some who were famous b'chachmasam in their wisdom. So on the last three lines, in kain nasati libi lidrosh al kavanas hadivrehem. I'm coming here to explain to you the depth of this conversation. Shehin be'emes mashul melitza v'divrei chachma, that this is a mashul melitza, that their conversations, either he's saying that their conversations, they were speaking kind of in code, or he's saying the whole thing is a mashul, never really happened. V'divrei chachma ve'amuna b'torasenu, sheba ha'chacham bal ha'nitzchon, Rav Yehoshua ben Hananya l'vikoach, im'akof from Sabbat be'ut ha'atuna. That Rav Yehoshua ben Hananya was coming to battle against these wise men of Athens who had these different points of kfira in the way they looked at the world, which were diametrically opposed to the Jewish way of looking at the world. What's the story of the wise men of Athens, Rav Yehoshua ben Hananya? So the Vilna Gaon says that when they came with their two eggs, and they said these two eggs, one of them comes from a white hen and one of them comes from a black hen, and yet the eggs look identical. What they were saying, says the Vilna Gaon in source number 12, what they were saying is, how is it possible that you could make a claim? How is it possible that you could make a claim that two unhatched eggs, which seem to be identical, two unhatched eggs, one of them is going to become black and the other is going to become white? Now, of course, we know in nature that's going to happen. But at this point, when they are just mere eggs, how can you say one will be black and one will be white? The Vilna Gaon references the pasuk that we just read a few weeks ago. That Rivka was told, you have two children, you have twins in your stomach, and from there they will separate. One of them becoming a great man of God, and the other one being a hunter, a man of the field. And so the wise men of Athens said, we don't understand the Jewish way of looking at the world. I understand if you want to tell me that v'yigadlu hana'arim, that the children grew up, and when they were 13 years old, Yaakov was sitting and learning studiously, and was a man of charity, and a man of prayer, and a man of piety. And Esau was out pillaging, and attacking, and stealing. So then you want to tell me that Yaakov is Chavzarti, is white, and that Esav is black. You want to say that Yaakov is good and Esav is evil when they're 13, and one is involved in murder and theft, and the other is involved in study and in giving to other people and being sensitive to his father's in mourning. Fine. But you want to say that two eggs, which are identical, two unformed children, who have not yet even entered into the world. You want to say that one is more chosen than the other? How can it be? How can it be that when Rivka was still carrying these children before they were even born, one was chosen and the other is not? In other words, says the Vilna Gaon, what infuriated the Yevanim is the notion that there's something special about a Jewish child. You want to say there's something special about a Jewish leader, someone who's suffused with Torah? So we'll say, listen, we don't agree with your system, but we can understand why you think that your leader is greater than our leader because they're on two different educational systems. But you want to say that a one-day-old child from the Jewish people is something special and more special than a one-day-old Greek child? This, understandably so, infuriated the Yevanim. In fact, the entire Yom Tov of Chanukah is couched in these terms. When the Navi Zechariah comes to speak about the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Navi Zechariah, one of the last Nevi'im, right before the decline of Nevuah. So Zechariah wrote in Perek Tes, Ki darachti, for the words from HaKadosh Baruch himself, Ki darachti li Yehuda keshes mal'esi Ephraim ve'orarti banaych tzion al banaych yavon. The battle, the core ideological difference between the Yevanim and the Jewish people presents itself in Banaich Tzion versus Banaich Yavon. The children of Tzion versus the children of Yavon. That Davka, in the realm of the Banim, of the young children who had not yet proven themselves to be anything special, that Dafka by the Jewish people, Banaich Tzion, are the ones who overcome and defeat Banaich Yom. Once we understand that, then we can begin to unfold the mystery. The Bnei Saschar, Rav Tzvi Melech of Dinov, writes that the three things that the Yevanim were attacking, Chodesh, Mila, Shabbos, each of these things teach a little bit about how the Jewish people share a relationship with Hashem, one of a father to a son. First, when it comes to Shabbos, everybody knows that Shabbos, the Gemara says, Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. Why is that? Why should it be that a Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa, a non-Jew keeps Shabbos Chayiv Misa? So the Bnei Saschar writes in verse number 14, Hinechazal Agdiru of Midrashem, Asher Iker, Magmasim Shav Malchus Yavon, Hayel Levatim Yisrael Gimel Mitzvos, Chodesh Mila Shabbos. And we explained that the reason for all of this was based on what? They were trying to get rid of the fact that Am Yisrael are Nikra Bonim. Mitzvos Shabbos Mochiach She Yisrael Nikra Bonim Dihinei Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. Why? Because Shabbos is the scepter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos, and we rest on Shabbos to mirror the actions of God. It's the scepter of God. And everybody knows that when somebody, if you go and you take the king's scepter, Chayav Misa. Only the son of the king is entitled to his father's scepter after he dies. In our case, we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chai Olamim. But the scepter of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shabbos, is allowed to be used by his children, but not by those who are not his children. Mila, the Bnei Yisrael quotes from the Tikkuni Zohar, that the person who gives his child a bris, the one who has a bris, Os bris kodesh, amar b'tikkuni Zohar, the inotrin bris, the person who guards the bris, is karin banim. It's called a son of God. And kviyas achodesh, the fact that when a Jew comes and testifies that he saw the moon down here, that Hashem says, okay, based on that, that's how we're going to decide what the Yom Tovim are. That Hashem says, you say that you saw the moon on this day, you announce Kiddush HaChodesh to be today, 15 days later it will be Sukkot, 25 days later it will be Hanukkah, 10 days later it will be Yom Kippur. That the Yom Tovim are set up by the Jewish people, that Hashem wants to have a partnership, that's because we're His banim, because we're His children. And of course, this writing on the Keren HaShor, writing on the horn of an ox, also links to this. My father told me a long time ago that he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Shalom Kamenetsky. Shalom Kamenetsky is his father. Rabbi Kamenetsky was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Philadelphia Yeshiva, where I grew up. And Rav Shalom, his son, is kind of like, you know, edging into the position. Rav Shalom once told my father, and subsequently I saw this in other Svarim, actually, after the sefer that the shir bought for me last year on Hanukkah, I had this Torah in there also. That apparently it's Yadua that in ancient Greece, the way that they would feed children who had trouble nursing, they didn't exactly have plastic yet, there were no bottles. So in ancient Egypt, they would take a leather pouch and they'd poke a little hole in it. And the child would suck on the leather pouch, and that's how they would nurse the child that couldn't nurse directly. In ancient Greece, what they would do is they would take the horn of an ox and they would poke a little hole in it. They'd drill a little hole in it, and they'd clean out the inside, and they would use the horn of an ox like a funnel to feed the child. And because the hole was so small, it would drip out slowly, it wouldn't inundate the child with whatever food they were trying to feed the child, whatever liquid they were trying to give the child. And it would feed Dafka a child with the horn of an ox. So now we understand that the Yevanim wanted Kisvu Lechem al Keren HaShor She'inam Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael, right on the horn of an ox, that you have no Chelek in the God of Israel. Because the Yevanim wanted from the time that a child is born in the world, a Dafka child, Dafka, in the time that a Jewish child would be born in the world, the Yevanim wanted the Jewish children to understand. There's nothing special about you. Ein lam chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Can you imagine writing on the side of the baby bottle? You have no portion. God doesn't care about you. God does not love you. And from the time that these children were nursing, they were already subjected to this campaign of the Yevanim to say there's nothing special about a Jewish child. And there's dafka nothing special about a Jewish child. Maybe when you grow up and you prove yourself to be something, but the fact that you're born from a Jewish woman and that you have a Jewish neshama, is that's not anything until you prove yourself. What's the difference between the level of banim? Everybody knows that in our tradition we have banim and we have avadim. There's a level of banim and a level of avadim. The Gemara says, in Masechet Bava Basra on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Atem kriyim banim ukriyim avadim. Sometimes we're called banim, and sometimes we're called avadim. Sometimes we're called children of God, and sometimes we're called avadim tashem, servants to God. Bizman shatem osim ritzon l'shel makam atem kriyim banim. At the time when we do the will of God, when we're acting the way we should be acting, so we're called banim. When we do the will of God, we're called banim. Ubizman she'ein atem osim ritzon l'shel makam atem kriyim avadim. But at the time when we're not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're called Avod. We're only on the level of servants, not on the level of Bon. So Rav Yitzchak Blazer was a student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, one of the great founders of the Muslim movement. Rav Yitzchak Blazer was to Rav Yisrael Salanter what Rabbi Nassen was to Rabbi Nachman of Breslin. Without him, we wouldn't even know Rav Yisrael Salanter existed. He wrote down all of his Torah. He's the one who disseminated all of the Torah of Rav Yisrael Salanter. So Blazer says, I don't understand this Gemara. The Gemara says, Atem kriyim banim, atem kriyim avod. Sometimes we're called sons of God, children of God. Sometimes we're called servants of God. When are we called sons of God? When we're doing God's will. Okay, that I understand. Why are we called servants of God when we're not doing God's will? We're not servants of God. To be a servant of God means to do God's will, no? What type of servant doesn't listen to his master? A dead servant, that's the kind of servant. What do you mean? When you don't listen to God, so then you're called the servants of God. So Rabbi Yitzchok Blazer says, no, no, you don't understand. Source number 16 in the bold. The afilu lizman she'ein osim ratzonu shel makom mekayimim ha-mitzvos. You know what it means that we're not doing the ratzon Hashem? It means we're doing the mitzvos. We are doing the mitzvos. But we're not doing them in the way that's the ratzon Hashem. We're doing them haphazardly. We're doing them half-heartedly. We're not doing it in a strong way. We're not doing the ratzon Hashem. We're being mekayim the mitzvos. Mashin etzavinu lasos. We do. Avo rak osim atzivoy greda. We just, you know, get it over with to do what we're supposed to do. Vein osim ratzon l'shal kadosh baruch hu keben. We don't do it like a son doing a service for his father. We just do it like servants to get it over with. The servant just wants to get the avoda over with and get back to his, you know, to his shade, to go lie down a little bit. A son looks forward to serving his father. He looks forward to having a relationship with his father. And this is exactly what Mesilas Yesharim writes. Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Yuches, Ben Ohev Aviv, a son who loves his father. She'ilu Yigala Aviv Es Daito Giloy Ma'at Shu Chafitz B'davar Min Advar. If the father merely just indicates, ever so slightly, that this is something that he wants, Kfar Yar B'Haben B'davar Ahu B'Maisa Ahu Kol Mashiach, the ben, the son, will do everything he can to do what his father wants. V'afa Bishalo Imra Aviv Elo Pam Achas B'Chatzi Dibur. Even though the father only said it one time, and he's kind of half said it, B'Chatzi Dibur, he didn't fully express his will. When the son hears his father wants something, the fact that, okay, my father didn't fully express, but I know that's what my father wants. He didn't fully say that's what he wants, but he made it clear that that's his ratzon. The son knows how to pick up on the hints of what his father wants, and he does even that which the father doesn't say explicitly. He says, what do I care if my father asks for it or not? I know this will make my father happy. I know this will bring nachas ruach to my father. And since I know it will bring nachas ruach to my father, what do I care? Do I really care if he told me to do it or he didn't tell me to do it? I know it will make him happy, so of course I want to do it. So listen, Rabbi said, this is the whole Indian of Chanukah. This is the whole secret of Chanukah. The Yevanim came to try to undermine the Jewish people. And a little bit, it started to look like they were succeeding. The Bach writes that you know why Yavan was able to overcome and to overtake the Jewish people? See, Golos can only affect us when we're not living up to our potential. This campaign of the Yavanim, that Kisu Lechem al Karen Ashur, to affect the children of the Jewish people, say there's nothing special about a Jewish child. You're not Bunin. You don't get to use Hashem's scepter. There's no special milo of bris milah that you have. You're not allowed to be mekadesh the chodesh. This started to seep into the Jewish mind. And we started to think, yeah, you know what? There is nothing special about the Torah. It's just another subject. There's nothing special about a Jewish child. The Bach writes that the Yevanim were successful at overtaking the Jewish people and being metame the heichal and bringing all of this tumah into the Jewish people. You know why? The ikra gezeira against the Jewish people was not like by Purim. He starts off this piece in the Bach. He says, by Purim we went to Achashverosh, we ate treif by the tummy dick party of Achashverosh, we're doing such bad things. By Chanukah, you know what happened? We were still being Jews. We weren't going to parties in Achashverosh's palace. But Yisrashlu ba'avoda, our whole avoda became weakened, we became like avodim. We lost the status of banim, or at least it seemed, on the outside. Excuse me, so then the Bach continues, V'alkein haisa gezeir levata mehem avoda. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response to the fact that we started acting like avodim, is that we started to lose the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, which shows the unique special relationship between us and Hashem, is no longer necessary. Until the Jewish people finally couldn't take it anymore and rebelled, and were moser nefesh, the Bach writes, with Mesiris Nefesh Gamor, Limser Nefesh Al Avoda. Once we came and were Moser Nefesh, like Banim, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that revealed, that reawakened, that rekindled this relationship of Banim, Atem Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, we can understand the entire miracle of Chanukah. The Pnei Yoshua, the Chacham Tzvi, and others all ask the question, why is it that we even needed the miracle of Chanukah? Why did Hashem have to make a miracle of Chanukah for us? So you'll say, because there was no oil. There was one jug of oil. So they all ask the obvious question. The halacha is that tumah is hutra b'tzibur. If you have tumay oil, and you want to use that for some personal thing, in avoda, that's not, you're not allowed to do that. But tumah is hutra b'tzibur. There's no such thing as, if we wanted nowadays, there are other issues. But in terms of the basic problem of tumah hutra b'tzibur, so, you know, every year by Pesach time, there's always a bunch of people who are trying to bring Karban Pesach. Right? There's a whole discussion, do you need Big Day Kahuna to do that? Do you need a Mizbeach? You don't really need any of those things. You need to be near the Makom HaMikdash. You don't need to, like, dafka be by the Makom HaMizbeach. And since Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibor, and the Karban Pesach is a Karban Tzibor, right? All the Jewish people have to bring Karban Pesach. So it's Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibor. It doesn't matter, even if you're Tumah, you could bring it. Normally, to bring a carbon, you have to be tahor, but that's only for a personal carbon. Communal sacrifices, communal avoda, are hutcher b'tzibur. You're allowed to do it even if it's tamei. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, I understand, so why do we need the miracle of Chanukah? Why did Hashem make a miracle that the menorah should last for 8 days if we had plenty of tamei oil? And tumah is hutcher b'tzibur, we could have just used that. So the Pnei Yeshua in verse number 20 writes, you're absolutely right. There was no need to make the miracle. We could have used tamei oil. But the Jewish people with their mesiris nefesh, they didn't know there was going to be a miracle. They said, we know our father likes kosher oil. So you know what? We could use tamei oil, it's true. But we have a little bit of tahor oil. So we know that brings nachas ruach to our father. And we know that, okay, we won't be able to do the mitzvah fully, but we know that brings nachas ruach. So we'll do it for one day, we'll bring tahor oil. Afterwards, we'll use tamei oil if we have to. We wanted to serve Hashem like banim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn treated us like banim. And he wanted to show us a special chavivos. Why did Hashem make the miracle? We didn't need the miracle. After the first day of using the tahor oil, we could have used tamei oil. Says the Pnei Yeshua, you know why Hashem made the miracle? Just because. To show his chavivos for the Jewish people. And now we can understand all of the questions that we asked in the beginning. Why dafka is there a special bracha on the miracle of Chanukah? And the answer is because all of the other miracles that took place in our history. The miracle of Kris Yamsuf, and the miracle of Lanani HaKavim, and the miracle of the Lechem Aponim. All of those miracles were utilitarian miracles. We needed those miracles. There was a purpose to them. The purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf was Hashem didn't split the sea, we would have been destroyed by the Egyptians. And the Anani HaKavod protected us while we were walking in the desert. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the Chalos fresh because they were going to be eaten by the Kohan. And they shouldn't be stale and disgusting. It was Davka, the miracle that took place on Chanukah, which was unnecessary according to Halacha. We could have just used Tamei oil. But Hashem wanted to make this miracle happen dafka to show Hashem's his chavivos. That we should know that He loves us on the level of banim. And I'll prove it to you. Remember we asked the question, we said, what is the Rambam saying? And this is a new understanding. I never thought this before. I've seen many, many answers to this question, and I never thought of this before. The Rambam told us that mitzvah's ner Chanukah is chaviv ad ma'od. And Tosfos told us that the chavivus of the Neros of Chanukah is what makes it get the special bracha. And we just explained that the special bracha is because this miracle of Chanukah is dafka, a miracle which shows that Hashem loves us special, on the level of banim. It was a miracle which is unnecessary according to Halacha. We could have used tamei oil. But Hashem did it dafka to show the chavivus. So everybody take a look in source number 21. Tell me this is not startling. the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Akiva, who I own there, Rabbi Akiva used to say, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenik Rabbanim Lamako. Dafka that Lashon of Chaviv. Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenik Rabbanim Lamako. How precious are the Jewish people, how beloved are the Jewish people that were called Banim Tashem Dafka. That were called Banim Lamako. Chiba Yisera Nodas Lahem Shenik Rabbanim Lamako. But it's a Chiba Yisera. It's an extra level of Chavivus. In the language of the Rambam, Chaviv Yad Ma'od. Chaviv and Yisera. It's an extra level of Chavivus that Hashem let us know. See, all the time, the whole time, even when the Yavanim had this campaign, even when we had the Kisru Lechem Al-Kerem Ashur, Shein Lam Chilak Lokei Yisrael, we were still Banim Lumakum. Hashem still loved us like Banim. But for a brief moment in time, right before we were going back into the exile, at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, in that point when prophecy was disappearing, and we were no longer going to be Nevi'im, but we'd still be known, it would still be known to us that we were B'nai Nevi'im, Banim Dafka. B'nai Nevi'im. That we were still Banim Lumakum, that Hashem still wanted us to know. Chaviva Yisera, no das lahem shenik rabanim. That there was an extra level of Chavivas that Hashem wanted us to know that we're Banim. That even though it's going to be a long and dark exile, and even though it's going to be no more prophecy, Chavivin Yisrael, shenik rabanim lumakum. And Dafka Hashem said, I want you to know that. That's the Lashon of Chavivas. For a brief moment in time, Hashem wanted us to see what happens. You know, I think about this all the time. Right? So this morning, I worked film. I already worked film this morning. And it's now a few hours later, and already I look at my arm, and those beautiful marks, the straps of the film, those marks that I made on my arm are already gone. You know, my wife lights Shabbos candles, and the Shabbos candles, eventually they go out. Eventually they go out. And a Jew, when we perform a mitzvah, for a moment there's this flash of light in our life, but then it goes away, it disappears, the marks disappear from your arm, the Shabbos candles go out, and eventually the smell of the smoke disappears from your house. And when we look at the world, we think, okay, I did a mitzvah, and then it disappears forever. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to see the world from His perspective. So Dafka and Chanukah, Hashem made a miracle take place, that He wanted us to know that normally you light the candles, and we see, with our human flesh and blood eyes, we see the candles as going out. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka wanted us to see on Chanukah that on the level of Banim, Hashem wanted us to see that from His perspective those candles are burning forever. It's like the mashal of Rabbi Nachman, which has carried me throughout my life. I said this mashal at my Ufruf. I said this mashal at my Shema Brachos. I said this mashal at the Kiddush we made when my daughter was born. This mashal of Rabbi Nachman is a mashal which carries us mamish to the end of the days. In source number 19. Kimashal hatinok. Cut this out, paste it on your wall. Kimashal hatinok kishamat chilelech. Like the parable of a young child who's beginning to walk. Shebatchila inu yachal holech yafe. At first the child can't walk very well. Takes a step and falls on its face. But the father and the mother, because of their great love for the child, who right? You ever see that? A parent, they're watching their kid who's just learning from going from crawling to walking, and they take a step and they fall down, and the parents are looking at this kid like, this kid is going to be in the Olympics. They take the small step of this child and they turn it into this unbelievable, huge thing. Right, like we've all seen, a small child, they do some small thing. Or they say something. They're not saying anything. They mix up the grammar. The sentence structure is all messed up. What they're saying makes no sense at all.
And the parents are looking at this kid like, President of the United States. This kid is going to write new Shakespearean plays. Look at this kid. It's unbelievable. And everyone else is not the parents and looking like, I don't know what you're talking about. But what? Because of the father and the mother's great love for the child, who mechabev hadavar, chaviv in ad ma'od, chiba yaseira. The father and the mother, their love for the child, make this small act into the biggest act. Va'os mizeh davar gadol, they take this and make it into a huge thing. Kimo kein Hashem yizbarach. So too, the Rabbonu Shalom, we have to know this strong. Kisha mitzvah matchilas leilech, when a person is beginning to serve Hashem a little bit, when a person begins to have a fire that lights him up, and he begins to serve God for the first time in his life, not just like an Eved, but the first time that a Jew is beginning to feel in his life, as we're all beginning to feel, that there's something, it's not just that I want to do this mitzvah and get it over with so that I don't go to Gehenna, but I want to have a relationship with my father. And when a Jew starts to feel that for the first time, you know what happens? Kshamitzvah matchilas leilech, kshadam osa is a davar chadash laHashem yisparach. He starts to serve Hashem in a new way, and what happens? Af shebetchila hu shvil dakik. Even though at first he's just making a tiny little path, and he, you know, he's doing okay, and then he misses shacharis one day, and then he blows an afternoon seder, and he messes up. He said, "I'm never going to go back to looking at that schmutz." And he looks at something, he messes up. And the person says, I'm going to never miss making a bracha achrona again. And he misses. He falls down on his face. But Hashem, seeing that this is his child, it's not an eved anymore, it's a banan. Hashem takes that, he makes it into a huge highway. A person's making small steps, so Hashem takes it, he makes it into a huge, huge highway. He says, look, do you see what my son is doing? And the malachim they don't have that. The malachim are more like our brothers or our cousins or whatever. They're looking, I don't see anything so great. What's so great? They miss shachars. And Hashem is saying, yeah, well, you see how he's trying? And it's mamish like that. Look at any parent while they're watching their kid walk. They're taking a step, and then the kid falls down, and the kid's like, yeah, you see how he's trying? Oh, he's going to get it. One day soon, he's going to get it. And Hashem is looking at us, and Hashem is, and on Chanukah Davka, we taste that. That Hashem looks at the Neiros of Chanukah and says, they're serving me like banim. They want to, even though Tumah HaTrumah Tzibor, they could have used Tameh oil, but look how they wanted to bring Nachas to me. Let me show them how this tiny little act, which should just disappear after a few hours, the oil should run out. But Dafka and Chanukah Hashem, I want to give them a glimpse. See, when I look down at my arm, the straps are gone. The marks from my tefillin are gone. Hashem is looking at my arm right now, the straps are still there. The marks are still there. And every pruta that I gave to Tzedakah is still there. And every word of Torah that has ever left my lips is still there. The only thing is that we don't get to see it all the time. On Chanukah, a Jew begins to see it a little bit. When you're sitting by your menorah and you're looking at your candles on Chanukah, the Rebbe of Baruch Hu, a little yidla, a kleine yidla, with a kleine shtetshikel, and a shtila bracha. Do you understand what he was saying? Do you understand what the Rebbe of Baruch Hu was saying? A little Jew with a little candle and a silent little bracha, and it illuminates the whole world. You know why? Because Hashem is madly in love with us. Because we're his children. Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the same way that I look at Noah playing with a piece of Play-Doh and telling me that she's cooking me pancakes in her new kitchen that she just got. And she's saying she's making me pancakes. It's like a gourmet meal. But it's just Play-Doh. And a little Jew with his little candle and a silent little bracha for Hashem. When we see it from Hashem's perspective, it illuminates the whole world. And the Rebbe Baruch Hu was saying, on Chanukah we begin to see that. On Chanukah we actually begin to feel that.
So end of the Maisa.
Crazy Marshall.
End of the Maisa. In 1939, Rebbetzin Dessler brought Rav Dessler and her daughter, Henny Dessler. She brought their daughter, Henny Dessler, to Vilna. It was Hanukkah. And who lived in Vilna? So their revered uncle, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. Torah giant, the entire Jewish world rested on his shoulders. And she wanted, Rebbetzin Dessler wanted her daughter, Henny, to go meet her great uncle. So Rav Chaim Ozer greeted them warmly. And when he saw the little Henny Dessler, he bent down and he gave her a little Chanukah gift. And the young girl looked up at this towering Torah giant. And she said to him, she said, "No, it's okay. I don't need it. I don't need the money. I'm okay. I don't need it." And listen to these words. Rav Chaim Ozer said to her, he said, "Oi, my dear Henny." He said, "Chanukah geld isn't because you need it. It's because the giver loves you so much. Chanukah geld isn't given to you because you need it. It's because the giver needs to give.